There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Monday. Hey, y'all, my name is Sean. Our phone number, 343-0106. By the way, on the high-stepping turkey thing, I don't want to live it down. I love the fact that I brought that to light. But I've got an Instagram page that is that I don't promote on here because it's really outdoor stuff and stuff we do, family stuff and outside. And if you found it, that's fine. But I like have a thing on there that says this is not for political vitriol. That stays on Twitter and other places. And I posted up a picture of some or video of some wild turkeys feeding in a field. And the first response back, which I was amused by, is good. Were they high-stepping turkeys? I said, actually, these were. You could see them in that video. Okay, going to go to the phones. I do want to say a couple things here as we get started. Looking and get some texts coming. Well, lots of texts coming in. I really worry about this censoring on social media. But the reason I worry about, I'll get to that in a second. But would I... There's so many conservatives out there saying Facebook and Twitter shouldn't be able to censor or take conservatives off there. That is, once again, this is hypocritical. The same way that if you denounce the riots that went on this summer, right, the Black Lives Matter riots, and you don't denounce what happened at the Capitol, you're not being consistent. At the same time, if a private business wants to say anybody with the name Sean can't be on there, then that is their business. I'll start. What do y'all think? Dalton, did you check it out? I'm probably going to say this and start another social media platform called Holler for those of us in the South, right? Holler instead of Twitter. How's that different than a baker that wants to that refuses service to make a cake for a gay couple? How do you square that? Is that private business somehow different? It is in the fact that these companies are big. But if what's right is right, I don't like it because I'm going to get to that in a second. But how is that different? If you have a conservative view on things and the rights of this company, if they want to ban President Trump, they can. Now, I don't think it's a good idea. And I don't think balkanization where people go, well, we'll go over to Parler and then Parler gets shut down. Which, by the way, side note, I mean, when in Rome, they call it Parler. But it had to be parlay, right? For the French word for speaking is what they meant for the thing to be called. But... You know, bay right there, south end of the Delta is actually named Chocolahoochee Bay, and we all call it Chocolata Bay, you know, when in Rome. But I had to imagine they probably wanted it to be parlay, and then it got to be called parlor by probably some of my kinfolk, and then it just stayed parlor. But, and parlor's now suing Twitter and Facebook. But, you know, the parlor shut down and Twitter and Facebook censoring, it leads to balkanization. And also shutting down President Trump's social media platforms is a bad thing for the nation. I really don't care if President Trump likes it. It's not that. It's if you ban voices from the forum that is social media, right? Replacing the old Roman forum, the digital forum out there, then it is echo chamber. You don't ever, and there are some people that will never challenge their own beliefs, but I think when everybody's in the same mix, you have a better chance for truth to come through. If you balkanize it and say, well, we're going to shut them down, so there'll be this other platform start or that other platform start, and I'm going to go to those platforms, make sure we're present on them. But I don't think it's good when you have no chance of somebody who disagrees with you coming into the mix. What do you think? 343-0106. And we'll go to the phones first here. Because I want to get to these these text messages, too, before I run out of time, because some good ones there, too. But Damon in Mobile, first up. Hey, Damon.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I want to quickly touch on Twitter since you brought that up, but that's not, I was going to talk about Mo Brooks first. But as far as Twitter goes, I look at it like this. People have been for 4 years trying to get them to ban Trump, and they never did it. It would be like FM Talk 106 having, setting up a chat room for their listeners, and me using that chat room to get people to get behind a movement to do something dangerous, and you saying, you know what, I'm going to suspend your access to that chat room because you're using it for something that it wasn't intended for. You have the right to do that if you're a private business owner, and anyone who disputes that is crazy.
No, they have a right. Yeah, just same way. I mean, that's one thing. Consistency is, if you respect the private company's right to make a decision when it's a cake, then you should have it for banning the president and making the bad choice of leaving the Ayatollah Khomeini on there, but that's a whole other subject.
Absolutely. But if it's my business, I'm a free enterprise, yep, and I set up these rules, and you violate them, I can prevent you from accessing my service, my bakery, or whatever it is that,
yep,
you want to use.
I'll stand with you every day on that, Damon. I'll stand right there with you.
Okay. Secondly, now, Mo Brooks, I'm going to tell you, I mean, I've never voted for a Republican, but every time I've heard him come on your show, he sounds like a very thoughtful person, a very intelligent person. He always had a very rational argument for anything he said on your show, whether it was the bridge or whatever. I was always impressed with him, and I thought, man, that guy's a conservative. And I read the article in Lanyard last week where they said that he spoke somewhere, and people that were Democrats, after he got through speaking, went out and started campaigning as Republicans and got behind him. For him to now continue to espouse this stop the steal rhetoric and have someone come right behind him and dispute that with real evidence, and have the fact that Republicans, appointed Republicans, say none of this is true, and he's still saying it, it makes him look like a jackass. And it's really disappointing, because he was a very impressive person as a Democrat. If I was going to vote for anybody, it would have been for him, because I've heard him speak, and I've heard him make rational arguments for his conservative position, and they made sense. Now he's not making any sense. He sounds just as crazy as Trump, because he's continuing to say it.
There we go. Damon, I appreciate the call. Yeah, I had a back and forth an email this weekend with folks, but that was one of the persons I enjoyed their critique of the show, or of Mo Brooks and the conversation there. That person said something very similar, that they enjoyed hearing Mo Brooks in the past talk and don't now. It's interesting, that change, because Mo Brooks has been on the show for a long time, because I got to be honest with you, he, on fiscal issues, I always like to have him on because he's consistent. You know, I got this, I mean, he's consistent about right-sizing government, and obviously there's people, even Damon, who haven't voted for a Republican before that were on it. But it's interesting that Congressman Brooks continues this, and I've known him long enough that he must feel certain about the, and he has information he rolls out. That's the problem. And I can't, when he says a conversation he had with Capitol Police in the days before the event, I can't, like, people say, well, you shouldn't let him say that. Well, why shouldn't I let him say that? I don't know that it's everything that I've had a conversation with him about facts in the past has been accurate. Now, opinions is a different thing. So I can't tell you what conversations he had or didn't have beforehand were. By the way, just coming right back to the phones, but side note there, and Todd had said earlier, Sean and Jerry Carl thought Antifa was involved. Those weren't MAGA people, he puts in as a quote. Where are with identifying any Antifa crossing the barriers? I believe that they were there, but I'm somebody, Todd, that, I mean, if information shows that there were no Antifa or outside agitators there, then once that information comes in, I think what I said from the beginning, oh, and Todd said, Carl said it on your show, unchallenged. I don't have to, Todd, I can't challenge everything that goes on, because we wouldn't get the person who's the interview to be talking. But I have said since the word go, from the jump on this, the people that said, well, there were no Trump supporters part of it, I said, poppycock. At the same time, can you imagine if you were outside agitator, you wouldn't take advantage of that situation in Washington? But if facts come out to show there were no Antifa people anywhere present, then I'll say, okay, I was wrong on that. But do I think it was led by Antifa? No. Do I think there were outside agitators present? Yeah, I do. All right, let's go to Johnny in Sims next. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, Sean. Side note before I get started, you ask about the Twitter account, so
yeah.
Let's address that first. A private business can keep anyone from going to attending, speaking on a private platform all they want. But Twitter, Facebook, and a couple of others enjoy government protections that should exempt them from some of this. They should not be able to block the people that they disagree with because of the protections that they enjoy from the government. Now, let's take those protections away. Now, they're a privately owned company with no government guidance whatsoever above and beyond every other private company. Then I would agree with you. So either A, they don't have the right to block people off of it, or B, they don't get to enjoy the protections that they have from the government.
That's very rational.
It can't be both.
Yeah, that's rational. What can you give me like a quick version of it's that 230 thing, right? I mean, what are the protections?
They cannot be held liable for anything that you go on there
and put on. That's it. That's right. That's right. So if I do something, they're not responsible.
If they want to enjoy that protection, they got to have people have free access to the platform. If they don't want that protection, then all games are off. Limit who you want to limit.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So
okay.
Continue.
But the other thing I wanted to mention, and the real reason I called in, if you remember just a few months back, we had an assault that went on a federal courthouse day in and day out, week in and week out for a month or more.
Mm-hmm.
And members of the Democrat Party especially, to include Nancy Pelosi, who has several quotes out there about she doesn't know why there's not more demonstrations of this type and so on. They did not want the National Guard involved. They
right.
did not want the federal police.
They fought President Trump on that. Yep.
It was a right to protest. So if they want the head of Trump, even if he's guilty of what they're claiming, if they want the head of Trump for what was done last week, should not we go after their heads for their involvement in the other assault on a federal building?
And you sound like somebody that enjoys consistency. Sounds like you and I could go have lunch together, Johnny.
It just makes common sense. But they want you to forget that they were ever involved in that. They want to forget that they ever didn't want the National Guard. And they want you to forget that they called for the removal of federal troops. And they only want you to remember the flash in the pan that's right now that supports their narrative.
Well said. All right, Johnny, thank you for the call. Got folks holding. We're coming right back to you. Quick break, and then back to the phones at 343-0106. It's Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right back to it. It's Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. Hey, Dalton, you get a chance. You see what Chester's prediction was for? Like, we had no chance to even talk about the game. Chester predicts Alabama 279, Ohio State negative 35. The Tide. Chester, it sounds like you've been talking to my wife. Actually, she's very worried. It's like the household is on edge right now because of what might or might not happen tonight at 7 o'clock. So Roll Tide. Jesse in Locksley up next. Hey, Jesse.
Yes, sir. We're here.
Hey, man. So what's your take on this? You said
the conversation's going many places this morning. It goes from insurrection to hypocrisy and, you know, the shutdowns, what we can say, what we can't say. You know, it's easy to get lost in the haze of it all. But I'll tell you, as a working class guy, you know, blue collar out here on the streets, Americans are tired, generally across the board. You got people on both sides, lefts and rights. You know, they're coming out. People are standing up. They want this and that. Everybody wants something. You know, what the big message here should be that, you know, our politicians and those mechanisms that are in Washington, you know, they're failing. It's failing. So, you know, what are you going to do about it? You know, we're talking about smoke and mirrors and what's going on, but, you know, actions speak a lot louder than words. What can we do about it? And no, I don't support any acts of violence, you know, to achieve anything or accomplish anything. But there's a lot of other things that I don't approve of either, you know, when it comes to elections and, you know, these Facebooks and Googles, you know, they're, you know, in a sense, creating a super PAC. Am I right?
Yeah, well, super PAC, not even for funding, super PAC, a cartel maybe is better,
well,
right? A cartel of ideas.
It's not good, that's for sure. You know, the bigger picture of things, you know, it's really hard to kind of step out, step away, and look at the bigger picture and say what, why, and, you know, the what's and why's these things are happening. You know, I can tell you right now, being 50 years old and being blue collar for, you know, 30-something years, 30 years ago, when I finally, you know, started construction, I was getting $6 an hour, worked 40 hours a week, and I worked my way up to $15 an hour. And I got a truck, and I got a pager, and I got $15 an hour, and the company paid some of my medical. I had benefits. I had paid week vacation after the first year. You know, all those things are gone. And I think that being said, I think one of the bigger pictures is the United States has been the country of rights and liberties, a beacon to the world for decades and decades, longer than when I was born. You know, and I want people to understand that we are that. We have brought rights and freedoms into the world. You know, and that being said, I think, you know, corporate entities, global wealth, whoever it is, people that own these corporations, they just can't stand us. We're sending too big of a message to too much of the world that, you know, workers' rights have to be observed. You can't abuse us. You know, we get, you know, look at what it used to be back when the unions were forming. They formed those unions because the corporations, the corporate
America, and we don't need to go through a whole, I mean, you know, I've talked about that, the value of the unions early on when they were formed versus what they had become, you know, later on. But I can't throw a net over every union, say every union was bad or every union was good going forward. But I hear what you're saying. And what you're saying, I think, is that the kind of message that put President Trump in the White House, that people felt like they were left behind on this. So let's go to what happened here? Did I lose Dalton? I think I messed up one of the calls somehow. And okay, maybe I got it right. Because I want to go to this one, too, because when I see somebody gives themselves a nickname like Federalist Scott, I'm interested in Foley. Hey, Scott.
Hey, fellas. How are you, Sean?
I'm good. So give us some Federalist take on this.
Okay, well, it really doesn't have to just make up a name.
I like it.
But what I did want to comment, because I'm out driving around and listening to your show, you know, just a move down to Alabama. But here's the problem that I and many, 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 many Americans, I'm not a Trump crazy supporter. However, here's the problem with what went on during the election. And it doesn't really matter whether you're a Trump supporter or not. The reality is, and I'm going to comment about the gentleman that came on after Mo Brooks and tried to somehow articulate that the 200,000 plus difference in vote count in Pennsylvania was somehow already debunked. It was debunked forever ago, blah, 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 blah. No, that's not true, actually. I'm an IT specialist, so I can tell you it doesn't take long for you to upload numbers. All right? It just doesn't. They certified the election 6 weeks ago, and the numbers were still wrong before early last week. So here's the issue. It's not even just that one. I think most of
But let's
of
go
us-
back to that one before we move on. So, because I want to know, so how is it not what Todd said? How is it? Can you get, like, give me, you and I are talking, sitting on the back of the truck there. Tell me, like, in simple terms, how is it not?
Okay, because it takes about 3 seconds to upload numbers from any county to any other county. Doesn't matter. So, and let's say if they didn't, how do you certify it without the numbers?
But they said that piece of it, at least according to Todd, that piece of information came out before they certified.
No. go back and tell Todd he's wrong.
Okay. Y'all. Y'all go ahead and so have it out with each other. You know?
I'm not going to – you can look – I encourage everybody to go look it up themselves. It was wrong last week, and they certified the thing well long time ago. But what people are frustrated by is not that Trump didn't get elected. It's that all of these anomalies favored one candidate, and essentially – all of the evidence that's been provided and zero has been answered.
Okay.
Nobody is answering any of these with anything more than the blather that guy shot out. Oh, okay. That was debunked.
Well, I mean, we got to go.
You're not a YouTube, you know, truth teller. Come on.
Okay. Right. And up against the break, I just would like it, and I appreciate the call. I would like it lined out like old Ross Perot style on a whiteboard so I could see all the information. Like, call everybody into the same room and say, what did you say? What did you say? What did you... It's like I'm dealing with the kids. Did you say that? Did you say that about them? Did they say that about you? Be right back. Coming right back to the phones.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, you know... At Mobile Shooting Center, if you'll find them on Facebook, like you watch their ammo information. Also, our friends over at McCoy Outdoor Company do the same. The big box stores aren't, so I hear, out of ammo. Like, if you shoot it, if you're lucky enough to have a 28 gauge, which I'd love, if I were to have guns, I'd love to have a 28 in the collection one day. They had some of that, but it's the ammo thing. Is this going to be another run? We've got to look at the stocks. I mean, when former President Obama took office, what it did for stocks of gun and ammunition manufacturers, which is a big thing. Maybe Biden's going to have that same effect. How do y'all keep getting caught with your pants down on this, on ammo? Side note, we'll talk ammo on another show because got to go to the phones and the text line. And first up, I got to be quick because it says Lee is just passing through. Lee passing from where to where?
Oh, we're going across to lower Florida.
I hear you.
Just taking a little vacation.
Good deal. Good deal. Well, welcome for a limited time to South Alabama.
Oh, thank you, sir.
All right. So you wanted to say about Hunter Biden's laptop? What was your take on this?
Well, I wanted to get your take on it, your thoughts. When we heard about it, I can't recall exactly whether it was just a few days prior to the election or a few days after. But don't you feel like the American people should have had that information provided to them so that
sure.
they could have made a better judgment of who they wanted to vote for with the information that was on the laptop that the FBI sat on for 10 months while they were back when they were trying to impeach the president.
I completely agree with that, Lee. The problem is, though, I agree with it just because it's the right thing to do. Would it have moved the needle that much? I don't. You just hear them from people when they went to vote in November, they were voting against they were voting against President Trump way more than they were voting for President-elect Biden. You know what I'm saying? It's like you couldn't tell anybody anything. And it's happened on the Trump side, too. You can't tell anybody anything. They're, like, already locked into their decision. Like, there's no last minute. And I know there's people out there. I just don't know how many. I just don't talk to them on the radio very often.
Right. And I agree with that. I think a lot of people weren't necessarily voting for Biden. They were just voting against Donald Trump. And I agree with that as well. But had they come out with the information a month or two prior mm-hmm. to the election, people could have fact-checked, looked at what was on there or what was told to them was on there, and maybe they would have said, wow, I don't hold credence to this, or wow, I don't think I want to vote for that man.
There you go. No, and I think, and I hope there's been enough coming out of Washington. It sounds like they're continuing the investigation. We get to the Bobulinski thing. The Biden stuff there's just so much smoke. And I'll say this, and I appreciate the call, and enjoy your vacation, and say hello to us when you come back through. I had several of my friends that are Democrats call me on this way. Not several, two of my friends who are Democrats call me on this, on the Biden stuff, and they say, this is, and I enjoy hearing that because it means there's still people, like, if I see fault in a Republican, I'll say it. They said, this does not look good. This is a bad image for Joe Biden. They're Democrats, and I said, well, what are you going to do? They said, well, either we're not going to vote or we're going to go vote for Biden. So, but at least these two people reached out to me and said, yeah, this is, it's not good. I said, hey, we had a moment here. You and I had a moment where we're on the same page. And then the moments are fleeting, aren't they? David in Mobile up next. Hey, David.
Hey, Sean, I wanted to slightly disagree with you about Twitter and Facebook.
Come on. Come on with it.
Okay, first of all, they're not private companies.
They're publicly traded, but are they? They're not government. Okay, correct. They are publicly traded companies, but they are not government agencies. So
exactly. So they do have the right to set their own rules, but because they have certain protections under the laws under as publicly traded companies, they've agreed to certain things.
And yeah, that 230, that section 230.
Yeah, one of the things that they have agreed to is not to violate the public trust. And an argument can be made that when they use their rules to shut down one side of a debate or another, or they don't enforce those rules equally across all group demographic groups, that they are violating the public trust.
Right.
Because here's a perfect example. Bama News Now. Social media is like 90% of the 90% of what drives traffic to the site. If Facebook and Twitter wanted to shut down traffic to my site, they could do it without the snap of a finger.
Mm-hmm.
And when they have that kind of control over the traffic that's driven to your site, they have, and they agreed to not violate the public trust, they have to enforce their rules equally. And that's what people are complaining about. They're not enforcing their rules equally across all the platforms, because you have Democrats using the same rhetoric that Donald Trump does. You have, like the perfect example, Ayatollah Khomeini using even worse language than Donald Trump does.
Even worse. Don't even get down. Like way worse. Let's.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not even get, really? I mean, because we're not splitting hairs between those two, are we?
No, we're not splitting hairs. We're in agreement that they're using way worse language. He's using way worse language than the President of the United States, yet he's still free to be on the platform, and Donald Trump is not. That, when we see that double standard, that hypocrisy, I think that's a violation of public trust. But I will say this, Sean. I know two words that will get me censored every time on FM Talk 106.5.
Oh, here
go,
we go.
Buckeyes.
Really? That's disgusting hate speech. Dalton, let's put him in the penalty box. Buckeyes. Although I worked with, in my first years in radio, my co-host, who is now the assistant district attorney of Kanawha County, West Virginia, is really an incredible human being, except for his dedication to the Ohio Buckeyes. Should have heard. If there had only been recordings back then. And he graduated from Alabama, too. And I'm going to call him this evening and see what he says. All right. Let's see. All right. Okay. So, talking about the private business rights. Okay. So Buford said, funny how these communist Democrats, Buford's words there, are all for private business rights. Start your own internet, they say. What do they say to Walmart banning certain people on race and creed from shopping in their stores? Would they tell people to start their own Walmart? I doubt they would hold the same view. Typical hypocritical Democrat communist. Buford, that's me. Don't put that on the communist Democrats. I have a very unpopular opinion there because it's not. And that's why I pointed out since the election and on through the 4 years that President Trump's a populist, not an old line conservative, constitutional conservative, which I am. That's why things will run afoul of me. That sometimes things that are in my best interest, I say, nah, can't do that because, what the Constitution's about, what the rule of law is about. So I get what you're saying. And if you're going to be in the realm, and David, other than his Buckeye thing, makes a good point, that if you have these protections, and Johnny earlier talked about them too, these protections for your business, maybe it's a different story. Maybe you've entered into another level. But that bothers me. Because if I'm going to if I'm going to defend as strongly as I can the right of a bakery not to bake the cake for the gay couple or whatever reason they don't want to, and believe me, it's not, you come up with your subject because, you know, the last thing I'm going to, you're going to find me doing is, you know, denying a gay couple a right to get a cake. If they can get married, they want to get good. If I'm in business, I'm in business to make money. But if this bakery, and based on religious beliefs, doesn't want to do it, I'm going to defend them in that case. And it's not exactly apples to apples, like you said, because of some nuance here for these platforms. But if we're going to talk about social media platforms that same way, are they utilities? You know, there's an idea that folks on the left or big government folks would like to make the internet a utility. And I think there's some argument, if you want to play the populist game, that the utility, I mean, it's the same way this push for rural broadband and all these things for schools, that it's like, it's just like electricity or water, that it needs to be, you know, to be done, needs to be utility and manage it. Oh, gosh, could you imagine having... Imagine having the utilities board here in the state overseeing the internet. It's, yeah, that's interesting. Robert says, so are social media giants becoming the new U.S. representatives? Man, that's provocative. That is very interesting, because what you do, and Robert, I appreciate that. That's a great thought starter, because when those social media platforms censor this voice or that voice, even if they don't mean it, and I think they probably mean to do it a lot of cases, but it becomes partisan, right? Partisan by reduction. Leaving these opinions and banning these others, are they now... But who would they represent? That's the problem. Interesting thought, Robert. Coming right back. We'll grab some more calls here at 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, have a big announcement, something coming up at the end of this week.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Midday Mobile, streaming live, fmtalk1065.com. Segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my buddy Trey. And I'm thinking about this. I mean, if you made that, I know New Year's Eve wasn't the same, but I mean, if you made some kind of New Year's resolution, right? And you said, we're getting organized this year. We're getting, I'm getting organized, we're getting organized, whatever it is. My pro tip has been, it's easier to get organized with fewer things. How about that hot take? And my buddy Trey can help you out with that. Listen, it could be junk that's inside the house, up the attic ladder stairs of death thing. You know, that it could be up there. It could be in a shop. You have, heck, if Trey tells stories, he came out to clean out a shop in a backyard or like a storage building in the backyard, and the folks said, you know, we really don't even want the storage building either. Now that we have it cleaned out, they could take that. It could be big things like that, swing sets in the backyard, the giant trampoline just waiting for a tornado to pick it up and sling it halfway across town. Whatever it is, it could be junk at your office. It could be something at a storage unit. You need the junk gone. You need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And it's very easy to set that appointment up. Pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. They'll make that appointment working with your schedule. How about that for a breath of fresh air? They actually know that you have like a job and family and all these things you do. The work a appointment that works for you. They show up. They quote your price. If you say yes, they get to work and get it done. Get 2021 off on the right foot. Get rid of the junk and do it with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right. And a program note for Friday. So this is on a very serious note. We'll talk more about what Mardi Gras will or won't be like going forward here in the Mardi Gras season. And those of you who've listened for a while that aren't brand new to the station, if you're brand new to the station, welcome. But we'll kind of give you a backstory here. So last year, we lost a voice, lost one of my friends, and lost a voice that was the voice of the Moon Pie Minute and the brilliance behind the Moon Pie Minute that runs here at FM Talk 106.5. So if you didn't hear that in the past, it is the story of Mardi Gras. As my buddy Rennie Bradner used to tell me when I'd say, it's the history of Mardi Gras. He said, Sean, It's Mardi Gras, so it's a story more than it's history. But it is the reason we do the things we do. Parade by parade, special day by special day, things we throw. It is the fabric of the Mardi Gras celebration. And so we had a lot of soul searching to do when Rennie died. And a friend of the Rennie's family, they're very special people to me. In a conversation with them, we talked about what we should do this year with Mardi Gras, essentially the celebrations of Mardi Gras, the public celebrations being off. You know, what would we do? Because the Moon Pie Minute, as it rolled out, would be specific to each day. Like, we would talk about, you know, whether it's Joe Kane Day or the Stripers or whatever day. You talk about the story of that group or that actual day. And we made the decision with the family, number one of importance to me, the family, and the family's blessing and the family's signing on for this, to do it again this year. So what we've done is, this is a tribute to our friend, our co-worker, Rennie Brabner, who passed away. And his voice will be heard again here at FM Talk 106.5. So starting Friday, we will kick off the Moon Pie Minute. I will have Rennie's children in here with me on the midday show. We'll talk about a legacy of their father and the Moon Pie Minute, and we'll get it started. And it will run on the days that those things would happen. Like this weekend would have been Le Creux de Bienville, right, for Dauphin Island. So on Saturday, that Moon Pie Minute will roll. And we will do the same thing the whole way through Ash Wednesday. And you'll hear a voice of a friend of mine that is not with us anymore. But it's something that I think is important, and it's part of what we do around here. And it's a way that the family, most importantly, and I, way down the list, agree is a great tribute to our friend who is gone. So we will continue with those Moon Pie Minutes starting on Friday, and we'll talk more about it at the end of the week. But that is coming your way. And even though this year will be very different, obviously, and we don't have the outward celebration of Mardi Gras that we're used to, the story of Mardi Gras is still so very important. And I might argue in this year where we don't have the outside influences of the things actually going on, it may be more important than ever. So that starts this weekend. It actually starts on Friday, and our discussion at the kickoff of the Moon Pie Minute. We'll talk more about it between now and then. You'll hear all the promos and all that. But I wanted you and I to talk about the whys and the discussion behind that. So there's where we are. All right. Yeah, I don't know. Somebody, this is a good question, too. Don't you think the Democrat leaders are ultimately responsible for what happened at our Capitol? I don't think leadership is. I think, are they part of the problem? Oh, you darn right I do. Unnamed texter, I do. But it's a combination. And what happened at that event, and once again, back into the unpopular opinion, the overwhelming majority of people that were there supporting President Trump or were there to protest, they had nothing to do with that. But there are people, no matter what, that's the idea, that if you think your political party or your ideology, unless you're part of that hot alt-centrist movement, if you think your political ideology does not have a fringe that would do what we saw all through the summer with the riots, or what we saw at the riot last week, you're wrong. There's people out there that want, even if they don't know exactly what they want it to look like going forward, they want a change, because that change for one group could be this person in power. It could be a change of this law. Some people just want change, and they don't even know what it's like. They just, whatever. They want chaos. They want anarchy. I still think the stats show it. The overwhelming majority of people that showed up for that protest were not bent on that at all. The problem is, those that did use the cover of what was happening there to take advantage of it. Now, do I believe that there are Democrat leaders that have some culpability in it? I don't know, direct responsibility. Like, I don't think you could put them on trial for it. But I think the rhetoric as a nation has something to do with it. Not that it made those people like they were, but it made them feel like there were other people behind them that said, yeah, that's okay. You can do that. That's fine. You can take an American flag and beat a Capitol police officer over the head with it. That's fine. That's good. There's something that has to be. We have to look at ourselves, be introspective on that, and say, why do those people think they can do that? And it may be because they would do it no matter what the issue is. It could be that they were, hell-bent on causing some sort of destruction that day, no matter who would have been speaking. But we'll find out more. I mean, there's a lot of people that are arrested now by the FBI. Hopefully they use that facial recognition to get every one of them that had something to do with the death of those Capitol police officers. You know, folks that won't go home to their families or their children, you know, wherever your politics are. I don't know that I can talk to anybody seriously who thinks that that was okay in any shape or form. All right, Paul Feinbaum show on the way next. You got a little football game to talk about here. Dalton, for some reason, has been getting our predictions on the game, and he's going to roll these out tonight at 6 on Sports Night. I don't know why my prediction on the game, other than the fact that I'm a graduate and a big fan, means anything, because my sports prowess is not on the level with the Sports Night show, but he'll roll those out. And I see people on the text line are putting their predictions in for the game. All I can say is Roll Tide, roll, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.